Hi, my name is John.
And my name's Chris.
And this is Stay on Target.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Stay on Target. We are your hosts.
You can find us on Twitter at JohnWright777.
And at ChrisWright250. And always online at StayOnTargetPodcast.com. So, John.
Yes.
This week,
we're talking about alphas and and whether or not we will be able to play those in like console world. Yeah, game alphas and all of the ins and
alpha
outs
versions.
Of the alpha versions.
Sound like you're talking about the TV show alphas.
Oh gosh, I was not talking about the TV show alphas.
Which I know nothing about.
I don't know anything about that. Yeah. So if that was the topic, we would be pretty much...
It'd be, well, podcast over.
Yeah, it's just done. So slam the door.
You just got back.
I did, just get back.
From Mexico.
From Mexico.
How did that go?
It was awesome. Got to hang out with the cuz who has listened to the podcast and things. And actually,
I still think he's a CIA agent. Out of all the people that we know,
yeah,
he is the most likely to be.
He is the most likely
agent of the CIA.
There was actually one morning where he was like, "Hey, I'm gonna go like play some touch football or whatever." And so like, literally, it was like, what if he didn't go play touch football and he was like going up for some spy meeting or like to assassinate people, you know?
Yeah, dude, he got a kill order that morning when he woke up on his phone, on his burner phone, that he picked up the previous morning in the market.
Yeah, okay.
And
in the black market, which are...
He went and murdered someone while you were eating your Mexican Frosty Flakes.
Mexican Frosty... You mean Zucaritas.
Yeah, the Zucaritas.
That was awesome. I had to get some of those. The they're croquisimas.
I don't know what you just said. That went way over my head.
Anyway, so yeah, we'd also like to give a shout out to Diego, who is a listener and actually in a band with our cousin. And
Dean is the name
Dean
of the band.
The
they're on
the...
iTunes.
Yeah, you should definitely check it
out.
You
can check them out.
For sure.
They're awesome.
It's great. They you know, do legit uno, dos, traces, like in music.
Actually mixed by you.
Yes, which is another reason to pick it up.
Yes, exactly.
And it's the Dean Trio, and if you know... Type that into iTunes, they'll pop up. That would be awesome. But yeah, shout out to Diego. I was disappointed I didn't actually get to like hang with you while I was in Mexico, in your city. So anyway, next time.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, it is a bummer.
Anyway. So, well, how could you, Trent, did you see any movies or video games or TV shows or comics while you were in Mexico?
Okay, so here's the thing. Like, whenever I was like going
those
through
are,
like...
Those are our specialties here.
Yes, they are. While I was going through the black markets, I took a number of pictures of just like these, of the black market versions of different movies, of video games, of like, they had like black market Xbox 360 controllers.
What?
Like all sorts of stuff like that, you know? So there was all sorts of that going on. So that was basically the extent of
a lot
like
of piracy.
Yes, a lot of piracy.
You dealt with some pirates?
Yes, I dealt with pirates.
Or brushed, you didn't really buy anything from them.
Yeah.
You brushed elbows with some pirates.
Well, I mean, obviously, like, I can't really admit to buying anything from them on the podcast necessarily.
Uh-oh.
But, okay.
Maybe you'll show me some things later? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I'll put on my trench coat and, like, maybe I'll show you some watches.
You're like, I have a plethora of watches here for sale.
Yes.
Maybe some sunglasses. I could use a new pair of sunglasses.
There were some really, there's some like Ray-Bans that,
really cheap Ray-Bans. I can sell you some Ray-Bans for $3, man. Some Oakleys for $5.
They actually looked really, like, they look really good too. Like, anyway.
I mean, if you're going to pirate, you know, things. And,
seriously,
and
like the Xbox controllers and stuff, I couldn't tell the difference by looking at them.
That's the thing. If you're going to do it, do it well.
I mean, why not?
If you're going to do anything, just do it well.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I was actually talking, I was like, man, what if the guy who like designed these like pirated items is like taking pride in it? He's like, it's better than the original.
Maybe.
You know, it's like,
yeah, maybe. Okay,
these Beats headphones, you know, these are backwards B. They're better than ever. You know,
what if?
They're Deets headphones.
Their desire is to get noticed by the actual manufacturers and hired.
Oh, man.
I mean, that happens sometimes. Hackers hack into some company being like, hey, I can fix all your problems that I just revealed.
I hacked all of your system and you should hire me.
Yeah.
Because you can trust me.
Exactly. I tried to take you down, but now hire me and pay me money.
I know, right? It's like, I literally transferred all of your money into my bank account. Hire me.
I wanted to be your overlord, but now please pay me money.
Oh, man. Anyway, so, but yeah, so saw lots of that stuff. But okay, so we've got the Operation Countdown. Sorry.
Oh, wait. Okay.
We're leaving that topic. Like, I mean, there's not a whole lot much else I can talk about.
So what you're saying is you didn't do any research for the podcast and sit down in a movie theater in Mexico.
This is true.
Or read a Mexican comic book.
I looked at newspapers.
Watch any Mexican television shows.
The thing is, I don't speak Spanish. So, like, it would
doesn't
be...
matter. Doesn't matter. You can still okay. watch the movie
so
pictures.
Here we go. Here's a piece of entertainment that I did. Actually, Diego, who we just talked about from the Dean Trio.
Yes.
Actually came out with a short film.
Ooh.
In French.
Nice.
With Spanish subtitles.
That's cool.
And it's literally like 2 minutes long. It's really good.
Nice.
Anyway, so he came out with this...
So you did see that.
I did see that.
Was it good?
It was good. It was really good.
That's awesome.
I enjoyed it. I really did. So, and I got, you know, it's just... It was, like I said, it's pretty short. It's about a private eye. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
Anyway.
Is that on the internet?
It is on Vimeo.
Can we embed it?
We can embed it.
All right. You send me the link and I'll embed it in the article.
Okay. I'll have to find it.
So there will be a short film by Diego
mm-hmm.
embedded on stayontargetpodcast.com.
Yes.
Jonathan saw this while he was in Mexico.
Yes.
And this is coming to you exclusively. I'm going to say exclusively, even though it's not exclusively, but it's exclusive. It's an exclusive scoop by stayontargetpodcast.com.
Just to warn you, it's a little bit dark.
Okay.
So just be pre-warned that it's a little bit dark.
I'm prepared for dark.
3 minutes of darkness.
I watched True Detective. It's okay.
Right on. Yeah, yes. It's very much in the detective fashion.
Oh, okay.
So
detective. I didn't know there was a detective fashion.
I mean, they wear lots of popped collars and trench coats and like the hat with both
sounds
bills on
like
both
you're
sides.
Describing bros on the beach.
They hold magnifying glasses. You know.
Oh, okay. Oh, those kind of
those
spies.
Types. No, detectives.
Oh, no, detectives.
Yes, there you go. Private investigators.
Yes. Okay. Cool. Okay. Well, now.
Okay. Anyway.
Wait. Now I'll let you go. To where we wanted to go.
Okay. So we're about to do Operation Countdown.
Yes.
And we revised this for two people here. But like the last couple of times, we've done this a couple of times.
So, you know, yeah, we've done it a couple of times and it's been 10 minutes long.
Yeah.
And both of us,
yeah,
you and I have been on the same wavelength.
Right.
Other people.
Yes.
Who shall remain nameless because I can't remember who they were. Have been telling us that, oh, no, I think it works.
No, you know, it actually works.
10 minutes is good.
10
I'm
minutes
like,
is fine.
I'm like, no.
You covered
by 10
everything.
Minutes, I feel like I've said all I ever want to say about this topic, which
and,
is not the point of Operation
and
Countdown.
And more. The point of Operation Countdown is that you don't get to finish.
Right.
You don't get to say everything.
You have to get it out as fast as possible.
Yeah, you have to think concise thoughts,
yes.
You know? Have as much material into one sentence as possible.
You know, like the rest of the time with the 10-minute version of Operation Countdown, I was like, man, what else can I stick in here to fill up this space?
Yeah. What other aspects of this can we investigate?
Let's,
so
maybe get the Greek out and see where the word video game comes from. I don't know. Like,
So anyway, here comes Operation Countdown.
The new and improved.
T-minus 5 minutes and counting.
All right, so the topic is, why don't video game movies work? Go.
Okay, so as far as video games go, like, I mean, have we ever had a successful video game movie?
No.
Not
like,
to your
okay,
knowledge?
So I was looking at an article earlier in the week. This is all off the top of my head. I can't do any research at this point.
No, this is like deer in the headlights, man. Come on.
They were saying the movie that made the most money on opening day or opening weekend, I guess, was Tomb Raider.
Okay.
And it was like 40 million or something like that.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. And it also held another record. I can't remember. But, and then the one who had the best worldwide gross was Prince of Persia, which was, I think, almost just over 300 million. That's
right.
The problem. Prince of Persia was made for like 220 million. So, like, whenever you factor in marketing, they probably barely made their money back if they did.
Wow.
And the problem with other video game movies, Doom and things like that, they are, they've, you know, just not good.
They just kind of fall flat.
And this is the thing. So, like, this is relevant because I forget who, some studio has just got the rights to The Last of Us.
Okay.
Neil Druckmann, who wrote The Last of Us, is writing the script.
Okay.
And I think it's Sam Raimi producing it.
I'm pretty sure you're right.
Okay, I'm right
pretty
on
sure.
that point.
Okay, so my thing is this. It's like, okay, so we have all of these
great stories. It's basically crossover media.
Right, it's like crossover media. And so we have all these great stories. Because like we have Forward Unto Dawn with Halo.
Okay, yeah.
And it's like, okay, that was okay.
That was the TV.
Yeah, well, it was like not even
kind of
necessarily
movie.
To TV. It was more to like, internet TV or whatever.
Right.
Like,
but it was episodic.
It was episodic. You're right. And it's like, I don't know. It's like while it was
cool. Did that do it for you?
It did not. Like, right. I didn't watch it for its own narrative. I didn't like care about any of the characters, and I just felt like it just kind of fell flat.
So this is my theory. Okay. We have like on a routine basis every single year. Like,
yeah.
there's an Academy Award like category for it, best adapted screenplay.
Yeah,
adapted from something else, from made into a movie.
And
yeah,
yeah,
books, comics,
whatever.
Like, books work.
Yeah,
comics work. Obviously work.
Yeah,
most of the time. And I think the reason is because you are not that character. So like in a video game, you are playing and controlling a character most of the time, and so like you get.
I think you get invested in it, you
interact with it differently, you know.
Yeah, and it's also, to me, it's like I think you're right on there. You're onto something with the interaction thing, because it's like with games, you're looking at gameplay. The gameplay is what a lot of times sucks you into a game.
Yeah.
Because if it's such cool gameplay, you are doing these things.
Yep.
Whereas if you take that and turn it into a movie or a TV show or something like that, it's someone else doing it, and you don't care about those characters because you aren't them.
Here's another interesting point. Mm. So I think earlier in the week, I read something that Microsoft had done a study and said that story in video games, story was not as important as characters. Whereas, like, whenever they asked people to like recite back the plot of a video game, they couldn't do it as well as a movie or a book.
Gotcha.
Like, they used less words and had less detail.
So to me, it's like, to me, that says that there might be a problem with storytelling in games, or that whenever you adapt it to a movie, they don't take it time and care to craft the characters and craft the setting and to craft those things. Whereas with video games, you're immersed in it. It's kind of an immersion thing, as opposed to like, hey, I'm invested in something
right.
emotional.
Well, it makes sense. You know, you think about Bioshock Infinite, like you get really attached to Elizabeth. I don't get really attached to the storyline.
That's true.
You know, Star Wars, you get really attached to, like, what does Luke do? What does he say? All this kind of stuff.
What's in
like,
his past?
Not necessarily who Luke is,
right.
But what does Luke do?
Yeah,
rather
yeah.
than, you know, like in Bioshock, it's what who Elizabeth is versus what Elizabeth does.
Gotcha. Okay, so like, what's about the reverse of this? Like, whenever you take a movie, make a video game about it, what about that?
Oh, take a movie and make a video game about it. It's, like, that's better. So you think about, like, the Walking Dead, the video game, or something like that. Okay, like, that's a TV show and comic, and it's been adapted, and it's very successfully.
Yeah.
Like, and that's because, like, okay, there you have this plot. You know, like, you have kind of this world that they've created, and you put this character, which is, can't remember her name right now, but anyway, Lee and whoever he has, he's going on with him.
Right.
And, like, you get stuck in this world.
But now, is that also because that's a completely new type of story, new type of storyline? Not necessarily Rick and the kids, you know? That's the whole thing.
Right. Yeah, that's true. It works on that end.
Now, also, you have, like, the failures, which are, like, Star Trek. That Into Darkness, it had a video game that paired it with
right.
it.
Right, well, a lot of that was gameplay. But, yeah, that's just true. Maybe if they don't work unless you have an original character. That's my alarm going off. That is Gangnam Style by Psy.
I love that at the end of Operation Countdown, it like explodes, and then Gangnam Style, like,
okay,
there's a party in Chris's pocket.
Well,
over
I wanted
there.
To be able to like watch and see how much time I had left, and that happens to be my alarm.
Oh,
apparently.
<man. laughs> Okay, so I feel like how was 5 minutes for you, Chris? Was that
dude? That was that was rough.
That was intense.
I think we got a lot of thoughts out there.
I really do.
This is what I thought that the other version would be. So this is better.
I do. Like, it's like it, like literally. I was, as soon as I look over, it's like halfway. It's like
I feel like I left thoughts unsaid.
Yeah, the panic. You
things
know,
on the cutting room floor. Yeah, you panicked. Once we got about like a minute left, you just freaked out, man.
I was just
you were
like, oh, Lord, what's going on here? Oh, man, yeah, I totally kind of panicked there for a second. But
yeah
I think that five minutes is definitely like the better, especially with two guys, like two people.
Yep. So. All right, so this week we are talking about game alphas. I haven't really figured out how to phrase this yet. I will whenever I title this episode. But like, so here's the deal. Maybe we'll figure it out over the course of this discussion.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big difference between the way that indie titles a lot of times operate and release their games than whenever major studios do.
And so specifically like indie PC games.
Right.
We're not talking about necessarily like indie, like the PlayStation indie initiatives or anything like that. We're talking about the indie games that come out on Steam or on their own proprietary stores, that sort of thing. Like, like things that come out on PCs. And like Minecraft. Like, let's use that as an example here. So Minecraft, whenever it first, Notch first came up with the idea, he basically allowed people to play this alpha.
Right.
And he essentially, like, at some point, he started charging people to be in the alpha.
Right. I think it was like $5. I was having a discussion with Fultron. He's been on here before, earlier this week, and he mentioned that I think it was $5 for the alpha.
Yeah.
And then like whenever the beta came out, it was like $15 or something like that. And then the full game ends up, I think it's $30 now.
Something like that. Yeah. That's the right 25, range.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And so you kind of just release it in those tiered ways.
Yeah.
And that's something that, like, you know, things like DayZ and Rust.
Yeah, Rust for sure.
Have done recently on Steam.
Yeah.
You know, whereas that, you know, hey, they're releasing this game. They tell everybody this is an alpha. This is not the full game. And the crazy thing is, I think it's Rust had zombies in it.
No, DayZ
had zombies in it.
Yeah.
And then they took them away. It doesn't have zombies right now because they weren't working right.
That's crazy.
And so, like,
is that the right one? Is that
I don't know. It was one of those two.
But yeah, so for sure, it's like DayZ is a really like big game right now too. It's like, I mean, like, as far as an alpha goes, it's got a lot of like players. It's got a hardcore like base, like fan base.
So
too.
There's this discussion, this broader discussion, just kind of in the industry about like, okay, is this something that major publishers need to move to for their games?
Okay.
Do you
We're
release
talking about like EA or
yeah?
Like,
do you just like, hey,
Activision.
Here's a new game. Hey, you know, here's the alpha. Pay a little money for it, and you can play it to let help us work out what the bugs
and
are.
It'll improve over
you
know, time.
There's, I think Minecraft. Like, you can email a. He wants
like bug lists.
Yeah, bugs.
Yeah,
get emailed, and hugs is what he calls it. Get Twittered. So you don't tweet at him the bugs. You
right
email
on.
Him the bugs and Twitter him the
right on.
Tweet him the hugs.
Right
but,
on.
You know, so like you help work out these kinks of you know, in Minecraft you can load up the snapshots and
gotcha.
you can see the new versions and with whatever bugs they introduce. You know. And so, like, there's this bigger discussion, like, okay, what if you did this? What if you release a, you know, major studio, Activision or something like that, releases a game, and it's basically an alpha, and they just build on that over time. You know, like, you think about something like World of Warcraft, a large-scale MMO.
Well, I feel like that's where that genre, like MMOs, are kind of where they just do that, you know, a lot of times. Like, they change over time.
Right.
And, like, change... you know, depending on what the player base wants, I guess, or what the player base suggests in things, if they have cool ideas. And so it's like on World of Warcraft, you end up with like a almost a different game. Like vastly different than whenever it first began.
Right.
So I mean like,
well, there's a couple issues with this that I want to hit on.
Okay.
So the different issues that I want to hit on are, you know, like, is this a good idea?
Okay.
And what are the benefits and cons to it?
Okay.
The other thing is that I want to hit on is, the question I want to ask is, do they do this all? Is this happening already with things like, or in theory happening already with things like Battlefield 4 being broken whenever it releases, day one patches on games, and you know, just generally just the mindset that developers have in general these days. So let's go back.
So let's go back. What was your first question?
Yes,
here?
let's talk about like what are the the pros to something like this.
So you want to do pros cons first?
Yeah,
and then talk about like is this
already kind of happening?
Oh, you had three questions. You like, does this work? Was the first one?
Oh yeah, like would it work?
Well, I guess that happens. Like what? How if it has more pros than cons,
yes,
then it works.
Let's have this discussion.
Okay, so pros of this thing. I feel like it's
took a long way to get to that point.
Sorry, man. I was just trying to understand, get into your brain, just trying to reach in there and pull your thoughts out, Chris.
Pull them out, John.
It's kind of really weird. Like, that was a weird, like, I don't know. I feel like I was just pulling like your hair out or something. Anyway, so
I have some nice, warm, good coffee.
Some pros. I say some pros like are like the fan base gets input on the game, like vast amounts from an early stage, because it's like sometimes a game's idea and concept sounds so cool to the fan base, but then by the time it gets to the final product,
it's been watered down.
Yeah, it's like it's not what they said it was, or it turns out not being. It gets away from the core idea of the game. For example, like it may be like a stealth game or whatever, it turns into more of a like shooter. You know, like a third person or first person shooter. By the
Peter Molyneux gets a lot of crap for this. Like he'll come out and say that there's, I think it was Fable 1 that he said like you'd be able to like plant a seed in the ground, mm-hmm. and over the course of the game, see it grow into a tree, and you'd be able to like, you know, like get married and have a child and see it grow up and stuff like that. And that never happened.
Yeah.
But, and he's kind of famous for this. Like, you know, he'll come out and just say these really like...
Well, he has just great ideas.
Hype. You know, he has great ideas, but he says he...
But it's like, then you get into the initial...
Almost
like,
presents them as truth.
Right.
When he's like presenting something to the press.
Yeah, that's true. No, that's true. And it's like, to a certain extent, it's like, I guess that's his vision. And so whenever he says it, it is truth in his mind.
Right.
But it's like, it's not necessarily doable in the final game.
So you're saying, you know, like we don't get what we're promised sometimes?
Yeah, sometimes that, you know, not even that.
But would an alpha even solve that? Would having like being able to play the game from the beginning of the development cycle
even solve that? If you have input on like a forum or something like that, and you're playing through this game, and they've changed it in version 0.4,
right?
To be like something completely different, like in a zombie game, they took away the zombies.
Yeah.
Obviously, like you know that whole thing.
They're gonna add them back.
They're gonna add them back eventually, but it's like, but to a certain extent, it's like that was one of the big things that they wanted the zombies to work, like and people saying, hey, we really want these to work a certain way.
Okay, so let's
led them to take them away to fix them.
Let me think.
So.
Let me present this to you.
Okay.
So say Activision released a Call of Duty Zombies game.
Oh gosh.
And you're playing it, and then, a few weeks into the alpha, they take away all the zombies.
I mean, there is no game then.
It's like very true.
Unless you can kill other players in the world, which I imagine you can, then it's like then there is no game. But then it just becomes a survival game almost,
right?
Where you know you just run around, hunt for resources, and try
so
to like.
It has now turned into a fundamentally different game than it began,
right?
And you have already paid for it. Like, does that?
Do I get mad?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Especially if the cost of entry is low.
Right.
Like, if the cost of entry is low, you know what you're getting into. But you also know, again, that you are going to help shape this game from the beginning. Because I feel like, to a certain extent, and this could be a bad thing too. Like, if you have somebody, you know, the fan base is shaping the game from the beginning. Mm-hmm. I feel like also that's kind of a bad thing because it influences the way somebody like Peter Molyneux or somebody like their
it
vision
would squash their creativity.
Yeah. Where it's like if they come up with a really cool idea to implement, but it changes the way the game is,
right?
Or changes some things people love about the game,
right?
Those fans like yelling and screaming about, hey, bring it back, bring that back, or like or change that back to the way it was. They might actually like influence negatively the final product because you know the fan base is there from the beginning.
A couple points I want to make on that, I guess, would be, you know, you think about somebody like Ken Levine. And where his process is basically you build it and then tear it down and build it again better and then tear it down and build it again better and tear it down. You know, it's like his creative process would not work in this kind of situation.
But
so
he's
like,
about to get into that.
Kind of, not really. I don't think
you don't think I mean, he wants to work more closely with that fan base and have that smaller studio in order to do that.
What I bet you happens with him is he does that by releasing the game and it's done. He finds out like what they like or dislike about it and he releases a brand new game. He's not going to change and update that game.
Gotcha.
He will create something new every single time.
Okay.
I think he just wanted something that's, you know, can be created by a smaller team in a smaller amount of time and not have to go through so many
like iterations.
Such a development. Yeah, so many iterations.
Okay.
And then the other thing about that is we kind of see the kind of backlash that you're talking about. We saw it whenever, not with a game, but whenever the Xbox One was announced.
Yeah.
Like the console we have now is not the console we were
promised.
And that's because of the fan backlash. So Microsoft listened. On the other hand,
if they hadn't listened and just like brought it out.
Right. Would that have been better?
I feel like it would have been different and would have changed the gaming industry more, but it would have been way more progressive. The question also becomes, it's like, if it had done that, it might not have been a success. And so Microsoft, if they hadn't backed off of that stance, might not be in the games industry for very much longer. You know, that sort of thing. And that's the call they had to make. That's the call that they had to justify to like stockholders and things in order to change this. The plan, I guess, after the fan backlash, became like, hey, let's just implement the same dream that we have slower. It basically spread out the timeline to do these things.
Yeah. So I guess what we're coming, you know, the conclusions we're coming to the pros are, you know, like, hey, you know, the fans are more involved in the game.
Yeah.
And you feel more connected to the game and the process.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess maybe you just don't care about the bugs that much just because you know they're being worked out.
And,
I mean,
and if it's a good game.
We've all played beta. We've both played betas of games.
Yeah.
So we've played like the Battlefield beta, Titanfall beta, that kind of stuff.
Which essentially the Battlefield 4 beta on Xbox 360 was the alpha.
Was it?
That's what Ike, who has been on the podcast before, I think mentioned to me one time. He said it was basically the alpha, or it was like in between the alpha and the beta.
I mean, was he saying that just because it ran so poorly?
It might have been.
I think it was the beta.
Yeah.
Because most
but
of
it was severely downgraded from even the PlayStation 4 or the PlayStation 3 beta version of Battlefield 4. So.
Right. Yeah, okay, so like the pro is, you know, you're more involved. The con is, so say you have a very creative person like Ken Levine or Peter Molyneux, and
right.
their ideas could possibly get squashed and taken over by the community
yeah.
who wants a game a certain way now.
Who basically hijack hijack your idea. Yeah.
Right.
Okay, so here's the other idea of this. The other aspect of it is financial. Whenever you get into like the indie developers, you would have a game that might not even get made. That a publisher wouldn't even touch, but because they have gain such a fan base so slowly, and have a relatively low cost of entry early on, that can actually go into developing the game,
right?
So they can spend time on it and that sort of thing,
right?
You get things like Minecraft,
right? And that's not really the issue. That's not what we're like really arguing. We're just saying, you know, should major developers do this?
But a major developer could potentially get more of a fan base and have different ideas because think about this: if they introduced 10 alphas.
Yeah.
Okay. And said, okay, well, if they gain enough steam, they will eventually become their own, like a game.
Yeah.
Those 10 ideas could be vastly different than the standard, like Call of Duties, Battlefields. Mm-hmm. I mean, they could do different gameplay things, different ideas.
Right.
And that's something that gamers always scream about anyway, is that like, oh, we need some original ideas and stuff.
Right.
And so it's like, I feel like the alpha model allows for some of those original ideas. Even through a publisher, like it's for example, like, okay, let's compare this to Lego. They have those, how do you pronounce it? Cousteau kits or whatever that you get people to vote on or whatever to back. And if it gets a certain number of backers, they make it. And so like, I feel like that type of thing work.
These kind of things are already kind of happening.
Yeah.
Steam is doing this. EA is kind of doing this with, I think, I can't remember what their, what the actual program's called.
Gotcha.
One of them's called like Evergreen or something like that, or Go Green. Like something has to go green in order to make it work.
Gotcha.
It's called like Steam Greenlight. And then
yes, that's it.
And there's something else. I think it's EA. So they're kind of doing this. They're taking these ideas from these indie developers and saying, here's the ideas. Vote on them. Which ones do you like?
Right.
And it will get made.
Right.
And so, yes, I agree with you. That's kind of already happening.
But in the console world or in a bigger scale, I mean that
this is where it doesn't necessarily work for a larger corporation, because you know you look at these companies and they want something that they want to be able to plan out their fiscal year,
right,
and be able to project earnings for their stockholders.
Right,
they want sure things. You know, games are not necessarily sure things, but whenever you look at, so here's another Call of Duty installment in this franchise, they know they're going to make money off of it.
Right.
You know, here's another like this, they know they're going to make money off of it. And so, you know,
until something like Battlefield 4 comes out, then, you know, all bets are off.
They still made money off of it.
Yeah, they did, but it's like, who knows about the next one?
That's true. I mean, yeah, that's true. Like, that's an entirely separate issue. We'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah.
And so, like, they're far less likely to spend a lot of time and resources starting development on, like, 10 games.
Right.
That takes more, like, time than we think.
Right.
And
initially getting that alpha version.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because, like, okay, so we're talking about alpha versions. They're normally pretty terrible. Like,
yeah.
That's why I don't think we see them on consoles, because Microsoft and Sony want people to have positive experiences on their consoles, not negative ones. And alphas, you know, like, are not always positive experiences.
Well, it's just like with Notch's, you know, you email bugs and you tweet. He just doesn't want the publicity of like all of those bugs and things like that
on Twitter.
And so it's like, I feel like, you know, you're right that major console companies don't want people to. And it's like, if you see some of the things, like whenever the servers are down on a game,
like
people will tweet at like Microsoft and be so mad,
right?
You know,
so that's why I don't think you know, we see that now, you know, for sure.
So those are the pros and cons. Like, I mean, are we saying, hey, is this a good thing that they should bring to these consoles, or is it a bad thing?
I think it's just worth having the discussion, you know, like, you know, entering the discussion and saying, you know, like,
I'm going to take a side. I'm going to take a side and say I feel like that they should at least allow some of the indie developers to do some of this.
Yeah.
And it's like that could go through a testing process, but it's like you easily know, like if you play through an alpha of something, you easily know whether or not people will like enjoy this or whether they won't. And the alphas that actually are enjoyable and that people play are the ones where the gameplay and the idea is good.
Right.
And it's like just the implementation is off a little bit. The fundamental question of is this fun, I guess, would be the ruling factor. So it's like I feel like one or two guys at Sony and Microsoft, it's like, why not let them siphon through some alphas and see if you want to put that on the store and put a label on it. It just says alpha.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Like the only way I'm okay with that stuff showing up in the game store on like the PlayStation 4 or the PS Store or the what are they calling it? Xbox Marketplace, is if it's clearly marked in a separate section as these are alphas, because this is the thing, you know, what I didn't like about, you know, either ecosystem in the PS3 or the Xbox 360 is, man, there's all these, like, all these games, and it's all trash.
Like
trash.
Yeah.
Like, arcade games will just get released, and it's just, this is just not good. Like, why would you ever play this?
Right.
Same thing with, like, the indie section of the marketplace on the 360.
Yeah.
Most of that stuff, like, it's hard to tell what's good. And this is basically what that would be. It's basically, this is the, they've kind of put the squash on just an indie section where you can download your own and make your own games,
right?
To sell on the marketplace, and so
I feel like they'll open that back up a little bit, and because of PlayStation's focus on the indie stuff,
right?
And also because the Xbox One, I mean, if they hold true to their promises, the Xbox One will
is different though, because like they've said, hey, you know, like we're gonna focus on indies as well, and so they've got that ID at Xbox program, that's for independent developers, not independent people. So like the indie program on Xbox Live Arcade was for like you and I could download the DLNA framework and make a game.
Right. Well, I feel like isn't the Xbox One build as like, isn't it supposed to at some point be a development kit? Like we're looking at like a couple of years from, or like a year or so from now, like that was supposed to like become a development kit.
Yes, that was promised. That doesn't necessarily mean, I mean, it was also promised that with the PlayStation 4, you could take control of your friend's game over the internet and play it.
That hasn't happened.
No. So, that's another thing about, like, these consoles, like, they promise things that, hey, it might show up and it might not.
Maybe not.
Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah.
So, here's the other side of this.
Yes.
Are we already kind of getting this already from major developers with things like Battlefield 4 releasing and, you know, Titanfall, you know, releasing and having some problems, you know, like...
Well, Titanfall having some, like, technical issues where they essentially wanted to see how it would run and then up the resolution later.
For a
final target of, like, 900.
Right, but that's the thing. Like, are we getting... I feel, you know...
You feel like we're getting,
back
like...
Back in the day, you know, you would get a cartridge or a disc, you know, like a Dreamcast disc, all
right?
That is the game.
Yeah, it was the final thing.
And they have tested it and made sure it's the final game.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they ship a game that's broken, you know, like... We haven't had game... Like, the games now, you can get a game like Battlefield 4. It was almost broken.
Yeah, completely just broken.
It's verging on being broken. Like, it is closer to E.T. on Atari...
That's true.
Any other game that's not broken.
And like if you bought a game back in the day, like you mentioned Atari, it's like there was a Indiana Jones game that our dad had on Atari, and you couldn't win the game. The one of the bugs was you couldn't, like, you got to the final, that final moment where you were there and you had the shovel, you had to dig, it wouldn't let you dig.
Right.
And so, but that bug is in the game, you know, that bug is hard coded into that cartridge.
Right.
And there was no day one update to fix that.
Right.
You know, but now it's like whenever the development process feels like it never ends.
Yeah.
Because like, well, or it doesn't end for about a year or two, like until the sequel comes out.
I think, so this podcast comes out on Friday. And so Friday, you know, the day this podcast comes out, Infamous Second Son is available, to buy. It comes with a day one patch that adds 5 hours of extra gameplay. That means that the disc went gold, was manufactured and shipped
Wow.
Without 5 hours worth of gameplay on it.
Wow, that they intended to put in. So basically, in the last week, they've rocked out 5 hours worth of gameplay.
They go gold about a couple weeks before.
Okay,
they
so,
have
so
to,
like 2 or 3 weeks.
Manufacture them.
It's like maybe
them.
A month, maybe at most a month. And they've been, you know, in that 4 weeks, they've been able to like basically an hour every week.
But
you
say
know?
You're not connected to the internet. Yeah. Say you just go buy this game, and you have no way of connecting to any kind of PlayStation
Scrooled.
Store. Yeah, yes, exactly. You've been scroogled by Google, even though they had nothing to do with this.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you have a game that you can't play 5 hours worth of the intended content.
Done. Yeah, I mean, it's just like, yeah, I mean, if you're in the middle of nowhere with no internet connection.
What kind of crap is that?
Or say you have terrible internet, and it takes you like 6 days to download the day one patch. It's like, wow.
And I keep bringing up Xbox. Because you know, like it's all software. You know, like the framework and operating system for the Xbox is still software, and so both consoles required a day one patch.
Right,
Xbox
required
more so than PS4 because it would basically be a brick. You couldn't do anything with it unless you downloaded a day one update.
Right,
so that means they shipped the box without the right software in it.
Yeah, without the right operating system preloaded.
Yes,
wow.
So you know, like.
Like to me, like that's a little bit more acceptable because it's a computer, you know. Essentially, if you look at it as like you get your you know brand new like PC or your brand new Mac out of the box, you load it up. It's like it's gonna have some updates. It's gonna have like you're gonna have to install like a day like an update on you know Windows XP. Well, I don't do Windows. I'm not a Windows guy.
How far back are you?
let's just throw this
Windows
out. I'm a
XP.
Mac guy. But yeah, anyway, but yeah, so like you're gonna like have a Windows update. You're gonna have to have a OS update. And so it's like, I feel like to a certain extent, the hardware, the boxes
but this is the
coming
thing.
To you
Windows
that way
doesn't
is not...
ship out of the box with a broken operating
That's
system.
That's true. It'll still load.
You know, like the newest version of Mac OS X, Mavericks, didn't ship and it was broken and required a day one update.
That's true. And even like whenever it was technically a quote unquote beta, it still worked great.
This doesn't happen with any other software except for video games. Because
that's
with any other software, a consumer buys it and it is broken.
Yeah, no, this is for
they
sure.
Get no sales.
And it's like I feel like that's like shipping a book.
Right.
Like shipping a book without like the last couple chapters written. Or
so,
without like or missing like 100 pages, like 5 hours worth of a book.
Here's
think
book,
about this. Yeah.
And we will email you the last 100 pages.
Yeah. Or not even the last, like if the gameplay's in the middle, like if they added 5 hours of gameplay, like
in the middle,
in
yeah,
the middle
here.
Of it.
We took out Act 2.
Yeah. It's like you literally just like, you read it and it's like, no, get your printer, your inkjet printer and you know, slide these, you know, I don't know.
Here
it's
is
like,
Justin Timberlake's new album, Sans Bass and Drums. We will add these in at a later date whenever we can do it.
Remixers would love that.
Yes, they're the only ones. And I think, you know, like what,
man,
you know, like I do, like, I feel like we do get this because, you know, like the, you know, for instance, Battlefield.
Yeah.
I think the reason that Ike, you know, says, hey, that was an alpha is because it felt like an alpha.
It was so bad.
Like borderline. And
okay,
the problem
this is not to say I didn't have fun playing the beta,
right.
But it's like, cause it's like the gameplay was good, which is why I say that alphas on like consoles would work if it was fun.
Right, but, like Battlefield as it was whenever it launched, like whenever you got the final product,
right.
If they said this is still a beta,
right.
That would be more acceptable.
Right.
I wouldn't pay full price for it.
No, you wouldn't want to pay full price for it.
But I would still play
Nobody
it knowing
in the right
that it's a beta.
Would.
But playing a 30-minute match,
right.
Only to get kicked out
yeah.
10 seconds before it ends and not have any of your stats
yeah, and you went 60-0.
Saved. That's unacceptable for a game that is shipped.
Yeah.
And it's something that they still struggle with, you know, like they're still struggling with things.
Yeah.
You know, like, and
the servers are still kind of screwed.
And, you know, so like, I would rather, you know, somebody like EA wait months even
yeah.
to ship a game until it's, wait till it's done.
Yeah.
You know, you look at games, I think that happened recently with, it happened with both BioShock Infinite that, mm-hmm. that pushed back a year.
Yeah.
It happened with
Stick of Truth.
Stick of Truth, that got pushed back by a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's take Stick of Truth.
Well, and even like right now, we're experiencing the same sort of thing with the Xbox 360 version of Titanfall.
Right.
Where that's not where it should be.
I'm okay with.
Oh my gosh, and they only pushed it back a week. It's like,
Or 2 weeks.
Or 2 weeks, whatever.
Another 2 weeks.
But it's like, I feel like I hope that they have enough time even with that. It's like, I don't care if you have to push this thing back till summer. It's like, you don't want to launch, if you're Respawn, you don't want to launch something that's a Titanfall game.
Right.
That the vast majority of
franchise.
Yeah, the vast majority of your install base is probably on 360 still.
Right.
And you don't want them to play a game that just is subpar.
Especially,
you know,
with rumors that, you know, like it's the resolution is below 720.
Right.
And
so it's not HD.
The frame rate is below 30.
Right. And it's half as much as the target frame rate and the lock frame rate.
You're basically saying that this thing looks terrible.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Right.
So basically,
you don't want the
saying,
people to be that have that experience. But that's the thing. That's what some people do. They'll push out this game. You know, like you take South Park: The Stick of Truth for instance, beautiful game, magnificent game.
Yeah,
I loved it.
Yeah, did it have a day one update?
No.
Boom.
Boom. I put it in and I started playing.
Boom.
There was another update that all it did was fix an achievement.
Okay.
An achievement would pop automatically at the end of your game.
Okay.
I think on.
Did you get it? By the way.
No. No.
So you didn't finish the game fast enough to get it.
Yeah, it happened before like I played it or whatever.
That's a bummer. Free achievement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At least I don't remember it having a day one update. Maybe, I don't know. No, I put it in and I started playing. I put that stupid game in and I started playing.
I mean, it's for crying out loud. It's like, I feel like that's the way like a finished game would be. But you're right. It's like with day one updates and things. I mean, I like the idea of like, hey, let's ship this thing as a finished game, and if we can improve anything in the next 4 weeks, we'll do a day one update.
Right.
But a lot of times I feel like they ship it knowing that it's not ready.
Yeah.
And then the day one update tries to fix it.
Right.
But I mean, I guess, you know, to a certain extent, it's like you put a deadline in front of people and they just get stuff done at that, you know, from
I would rather them
deadline.
Only get done what they can get done in that deadline and do it well.
Right.
Than try to
push something.
Yeah. Like if you want to add in an extra, like Titanfall, we're going to get the ability to make private lobbies, and they're going to introduce the resolution and stuff like that. Fine, whatever.
Right.
At least the game runs.
But the game is a working game. It's their vision. It's their vision.
Yeah.
I still feel like if they didn't do those updates, Vince would probably still
would still be a good game even if they didn't do
Respawn
it.
Respawn would still high five each other.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure. And so that's different from shipping a game that is inherently that does
flawed.
Not work.
Yeah, that's broken. Like Battlefield 4.
Right.
Wow. And okay, so like in that instance, it's like, you're right. Those are a lot like alphas. Those are a lot like betas. Those are a lot like those things. But it's like, is that, I feel like that's something that people are really annoyed about. So,
it's frustrating whenever it's frustrating. Like we said,
you pay full price for a game.
Like if you say this is an alpha and you release it as an alpha and you say this is an alpha, everyone knows it's an alpha.
Let the market decide.
How many times can I say alpha in one sentence? You know, as long
alfalfa.
As it's alfalfa. Alfalfa?
Yes, I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Whatever,
from the little rascals.
Little rascals. Man, have not thought about them in a long time.
Gosh.
As long as everyone knows it's an alpha, no one cares. Like, why would you care? But.
Yeah.
It's a full price game, you want it to work.
Whenever you pay $60 for it, it's like you want this to be a finished game.
Leave out some features. Yeah. Like, just do what you can do in the amount of time that you have.
Okay, so. As we stand,
yes.
Do we think that major publishers or that consoles in general, because this is a PC thing that there is already going on, it's already happening. But as far as like consoles go, should the console manufacturers, should Microsoft and Sony, go ahead and open up the world for like an alpha market, like a separate side of their marketplaces?
Yeah, I like that idea.
For alphas.
I think that works, you know, kind of, to their advantage. You know, it gets maybe some rising talent on their platform. They can release some games in there.
Yeah.
You'd have things like DayZ.
You have more exclusives too, because it's like if you're a startup and you want to make something for a console, you don't want to make it for both.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, like things like DayZ and Rust, they could run on a console.
Right. You could tout it to people who are buying the consoles. You could tout it to your stockholders and say, we have X number of indie developers that have put up alphas on our whatever, and then upgrade it whenever it gets done.
Yeah, I mean, if people decide, like, I mean, they could become as big, because Minecraft even wasn't out of basically didn't technically officially release until 2011.
Right.
It had been around for years.
Right.
Something that's worth noting is that it seems that alphas only really work, you know, like a game can only survive in alpha if it's the multiplayer component of a game.
Okay.
Now, for instance, you know, you will play Titanfall matches,
right,
or Minecraft in alpha several times, you know, and I guess Minecraft you can is play not single multiplayer.
Yeah, Minecraft,
but it's
for
different.
Sure.
It's not a campaign. It's not story driven. Let's just say that.
Yeah, a non-story driven game.
Non-story driven games can survive like this. A story driven game cannot. So say you play through a buggy story.
Yeah, you would want to play through Infinite, it again.
Through, you know, in the alpha version, and you're probably not going to play it. Yeah, you're not going to play it again.
Right.
Whenever it finally officially releases.
Right.
Just because it's officially released, you're like, I've already seen that story.
Yeah, I already know what happened.
Yeah.
So
and
I'm
I had
not
a terrible
gonna...
time playing it.
Right.
So this really only kind of works in that situation.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah. I have no ending to this, other than, you know, like. To have this discussion.
I definitely think that we ended this in that, like, yes, we should start doing these things, but are we going to start seeing this? I don't know if Microsoft or Sony, either one of them, is confident enough right now to open up their boxes to the bugs
right.
and to a potentially negative experience. So maybe 2 years from now, it's like maybe in the like,
well, we've started seeing more betas, you know, right. So we saw beta with, and it's mainly EA though doing it, you know,
right.
Betas with Titanfall,
Battlefield 4.
Battlefield will have, you know, betas. I'd like to see at least more betas.
Right.
You know, like more chances to play these games. It was awesome being able to play Titanfall and know that, hey, this is a game that I want to play whenever it releases.
Right.
And I think it's great marketing.
Again, and the worst thing about that beta was that you were going to have to wait 2 or 3 weeks until the game came out.
Right. And so I'm okay. It's almost like a demo, which aren't, you know, you don't have demos anymore.
Right.
Like there are no demos. And so in the absence of demos, I think betas are something that is good for the industry.
Yeah, and it's good for game developers, and it's good for console manufacturers as well. You know, it's good for everybody. I don't see how betas, and even especially if they're like timed betas, like where it's like, hey, this is only active for a week or whatever. I mean, it's like, I feel like those can only be good for everyone.
Right.
Everyone involved. Because it's like, and even if it sucks, like even if a beta sucks,
you're okay with it because it's the beta.
Right. And even if you have a pay for beta, think about that. Like, what if you...
I would have paid $5, $10 to play that Titanfall beta.
There were a ton of people that would... You could just see the number of people that, like, were trying to win the codes from Major Nelson on Friday or whatever, that Friday.
Yep.
You could just look at that and look at the sheer number of people that wanted in on that game.
Right.
I definitely see that like, a pay-for beta could be a good way to start.
Yep.
For sure.
Especially for indie developers.
You hear us, Sony. You hear us, Microsoft. Get us pay for betas.
We are men.
We want to give you money. Actually, you know, I take back that I guess I do want to give you money.
You've said all throughout this you want to give them money for their betas.
That's so true.
No, you can't go back on it now.
I can't go back on it. All right,
cool. It is there for posterity.
Everybody, it's documented. Today, John said he will pay money for betas.
So, this week on the site, I guess we've got Arrow on Target going up a day late.
Yep.
So that'll be up there.
Because I was in Mexico.
Because you were in Mexico. We're going to go watch it right now and then do that podcast. you can check us out online at stayontargetpodcast.com. We've got lots of content up there. Videos, reviews, other podcasts.
John's
things
comic
like that.
Run.
John's comic run. There will be a new one probably by the time this goes up. And you can check all that there. You can find us on Twitter at ChrisWright250.
And JohnWright777.
Make sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for updates about the podcast and any breaking news. We try to tweet that out as well.
Absolutely. And that's all for now. We'll see you next time on
Stay on Target.